They talk down to people. They, you know, try to make you feel the worst of worst. Mm-hmm. But if you really understand, this man, he was under authority, and he understood authority. He said, I'm a man under authority. And we're under authority. Mm-hmm. Jesus.
You know, back when I was in the military, the brothers, man, you know, back when I was a kid, the only cards I'd play was like Old Maid with my brother or something like that. But, you know, when I got in the military, the brothers taught me how to play cards, you know.
Jesus! What's going on with it?
And this game of cards, we always play the spades. Anybody ever play spades?
I don't know how to do it, but I've played before.
But how many catch cards do you say? How many y'all got?
Four.
Supposed to have seven?
Okay. We're just going, normally you deal out the whole deck, you know.
Okay.
But we're just going to do a example here. But spades trumps everything. Remember that.
Spade on the car trumps everything.
Yeah. Spade
trumps everything. But you got to start playing all the other cards, you know. And normally you'll come down there last. But I'm going to ask Nick to go first. Nick, just throw your best card out. Whatever you got. Why don't you throw that card out?
Are you?
Other than the spade.
Yep.
Other than the spade. Ace of clubs. Wow. Now, if you got a club, you got to play it. You understand?
So you don't. You keep your trump stuff. So.
If I got it, that's my book.
Well, okay. I don't have a club, so I don't have.
You have to play a spade if you got it.
I'm gonna throw a heart.
Okay. So you don't have to play the spades.
Why don't you throw your lowest card? Lowest card you got. Spades. That's the lowest spade he's got.
Wow.
Thurston.
The lowest?
So if you got clubs, you got to play clubs.
All right. Best club.
Best club. Okay. Goodness. Now guess who got that? Charles got it. Charles trumped it.
Trumped it.
That spade trumps everything. Same way the name of Jesus. That name of Jesus trumps everything.
Yes, amen.
Yeah.
You know, say that ace of clubs was cancer. Something like that. Guess what?
Woo!
Amen. We're going to let Charles, since he won that, he goes first now.
Best cup.
That trumps that, don't it?
Yep.
Okay, Nick. Okay, Dave. I got a seven, so I got to play that seven. Okay.
But Charles,
he took that one. Okay, Charles, your time again.
He's played once or twice.
Okay. Keys. Ace of hearts. Popped in leg. Ace
of hearts.
Broken heart. A broken heart. You know, I'm going to throw my ace of diamonds here. Charles took that. That trumps everything. Spades trumps everything. The name of Jesus trumps everything.
Amen. It's all been fixed.
It's all in a name, too. Queen.
Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Club.
That's a good hand there.
Good man. Well, I throw out now.
Charles Trump the doll. With the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Charles Gordon.
Kick butt to the name.
Jay.
Wow.
And he had it all the way down, didn't he?
Yeah, thank you.
You know why? Charles, y'all figured that out.
Yeah, you had it all fixed for it.
I stacked the deck. But you know why?
That's what God's done.
God stacked the deck.
Woo! Boy.
You know how he did it? God stacked the deck by becoming man.
Amen. Oh. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, he did. Woo!
That name Jesus. and it defeats the enemy.
Every time.
But you know, when you talk about that old general, how nice he was and all.
And David, can I say something before you go to the general?
Yes, ma'am.
And we have a legal right to use that name.
Amen.
Legal right.
And that man legally overcame death.
Yes. See, I kind of cheated that one.
No, I'm looking at you, brother. Ain't no way.
But that's fine.
It took some thoughts to do that, though.
But you know that nice old general I was telling you about? They were a military man in the Bible, one of the greatest warriors, I think, in the Bible. I want to read to you what he said about the Lord.
Amen.
Get the glasses on here. Now, the greatest military man I think in the Bible, but he said this: the Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His tracks lead me to an oasis of peace, the quiet book of bliss. That's where he restores and revives my life.
Amen.
Right there by the river. Don't get what I'm coming from, the river flows out of it. That's where he restores you. He opens before me pathway to God's pleasure. He leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honors to his name. You know, we was talking about, you know, casting out demons and devils. Yeah. And that brings honor to his name.
Yes, that glorifies
Lord, his name. Even when your path takes me through the valley of the deep darkness, fear won't conquer me, for you already have. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fears. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. You've become my delicious feast.
Amen.
You know, Bob says, taste and see this Lord is good. He is, ain't he? Even when my enemies dare to fight, you know, let that old devil raise up its head, you know. You anoint me with fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink until my heart overflows.
Amen.
So why would I fear the future? For your goodness and your love pursue me all the days of my life.
Amen.
And then afterwards, when my life is through, I'll return to your glorious presence to be heaven.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Get ready, Thurston. Come up. Let's give him a hand. I have to come to church to learn how to play cards. But you made a good point. Very good point from that. You know, his disciples, they cast lots, you know.
Yeah.
So, David, you're not that far.
they cast lots until the Holy Spirit came.
There you go.
When the Holy Spirit came, they stopped.
They didn't have to cast lots.
That's the reason why you never hear about Matthias in the New Testament. You never hear about him.
But when the Holy Spirit, he lead and guide them, they were looking, okay, you know. But when the Holy Spirit came, they were a different church.
Changed everything.
And the church has got to let the Holy Spirit
come
again.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
He's in us.
Yeah.
Try.
But we got to let him come
kindle
again.
Kindle it.
Like
fire.
Like he said, the fire part of it.
Yeah. Ma'am?
The fire part of him.
Yes.
We kind of limited the fire part.
That's right.
We're not going to do that anymore.
No, man. Let it burn.
We have authority in our words, so he's going to really show up.
And here's the thing. See, I've known so many people. They love God. They read the word. They pray. I mean, pray. But nothing changes in their life. They still have the same attitudes. They still get mad at the drop of a hat. They still have these terrible issues. They need the fire of Jesus.
Woo! Yes, amen.
He is the deliverer.
Yes, glory.
The fire.
Yes.
Well, the fire works both ways. It burns up what's on the inside of us.
That's right.
Because
that's right.
When Isaiah was having problems,
come on,
they took
come on
coal off the fire.
Yes.
Changed everything.
Put it on.
Yes.
Oh,
changed everything.
Glory. Oh, yeah.
Amen.
And we have a better fire. We have a better fire.
Yes.
It's better than that hot coal off the altar. The Holy Spirit fire is better.
Yes. Yes.
It cleanses us completely.
Yes.
Ooh, it stays with you.
Yeah.
Yes.
It remains
never
with you.
Leaves.
But I'm just saying how he didn't have...
Yeah, poker.
I'm just saying how in even the Old Testament, mm-hmm. if we can look back at the Old Testament and seeing how God functioned there, we like, give us more, God.
Yes.
We have a better covenant.
Yes.
Preach.
I mean, it changed Isaiah's whole life.
Yes, ma'am.
And he could see better.
Right. He could understand him.
He could understand.
Before he couldn't understand him.
Woo! Come on now, let's lead us along and let Apostle go for it, because
we're getting all excited now.
Because we're getting excited now.
We can get up and run.
Come on, Tristan. Had fire.
You know, it's blessed to be back in this room with you.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is a big blessing.
I missed the Breakfast Club, I tell you.
On that note, we're not going to have Breakfast Club next week. Next Sunday, we're not going to be here. The Sunday after that, we won't be here. We'll start back the first week in January.
Okay. Last week, the Lord had me covering something about authority.
Okay, blow your trumpet. Blow your trumpet. You got something good to say.
Last week he gave me something, you know, a revelation about authority. I've noticed that a lot of people have been taught about authority. We've taught this book about authority. But I consider why people let things go on and continue, even though we haven't. And I considered how, excuse me, those who share some of the greatest testimonies, they have three things in common. Innocence, commitment, not commitment, you know, innocence, they have commitment. But there's innocence and obedience and sincerity. When you're sincere, that all this comes out of the new birth, the love, the God kind of love. We experience the love of Jesus. Jesus said, love, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But after the new birth, Peter came with a greater work, saying, love others just like Jesus loves you.
Amen.
And I listen to people that have most outstanding testimonies. I can believe them. And I thought about what did it have in common? Sincerity and obedience and innocence. We got the innocence from the blood of the Lamb. When the Lord saved me, I felt like a brand new creature.
Yes,
I wanted everybody to know this.
Amen.
The innocence of that first love, you've been made brand new. This is where your authority comes from. This is why we can tell Satan to stop, and it happens.
Amen.
When people have that, when they keep that revelation, and they, you know, this is a choice. The Word of God helps us to do it. That innocence. And that sincere. Lord, I want to please you. Mm-hmm. A lot of battles I won because I wanted to do it God's way. It was frustrating when I didn't know how. And I wasn't hearing how. I heard some things that helped over the pulpit. And they were doing the best they could do. People, and they do their best when they serve God. But sometimes I said, Lord, I want to know. I was living... Romans chapter 7, a very uncomfortable way to live. I was trying to do right, and things were just going on around me that was just bad.
Yes, sir.
But in my heart, I wanted to do it God's way. I just didn't know how to do it. And the Lord kept me from falling. He kept me stable. But it was very uncomfortable. And they divide the chapters into worse places. A lot of people preach it. Romans 7 to stop.
Right.
And never go on to Romans 8.
Come on.
And Romans 8 talks about life in the Spirit. And life in the Spirit is foundation. And it takes you right back to what the Lord as we keep that same innocence and we're sincere with it, we're expressing the love of God. Romans chapter 8. I'm not going to read the whole chapter or spend much time in it, but following chapter 7, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And these are the last days, and people are, a lot of people have tried to follow God, and they backslid, and they think they can't do it. And I like to make things plain. On the radio, the Lord had me saying that when you believe on Jesus, you fulfill all the ceremonial law.
Amen. Yes.
You got the destination and all those road signs that lead to Christ and point to Him. The circumcision, the feast days, all that stuff. You fulfill all of it through believing on Jesus, that His blood washed your sins away. And then the moral law is just as easy. When you walk in His kind of love, you fulfill all the moral law. And John explains this one. There is no law against the love of God. So that's where our authority begins.
Yes, it does.
Our authority is not about how we feel. And, you know, sincerity and obedience and all that kind of commitment, the innocence, they sound soft, but they're strong. When you're innocent, that don't mean you might not yell. When you're sincere, that doesn't mean you might not speak with authority.
That's Jesus' example of all that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. When you're obedient, it doesn't always mean that you'll say nothing. It means that you're going to stick with the perfect plan of God and do it His way. And just like that general, David.
The perfect plan of God.
The perfect plan of God. Just like that general. He was very nice to David. You're going to love people and build them up. That's what it's for. I've seen a lot of works of God come to a halt because of competition. God, they'll go no further. Sometimes people, they love power. They have an authority over others. Jesus said, don't rejoice because you have authority over wicked demons.
Preach it out.
But rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord. That's where your authority is, and that's where it stays. That's why when things are going wrong, you can still do it God's way.
Yes,
amen. Amen.
You can speak God's word from that position. Mm-hmm. As He is, so are we in this world. Who you receive from, that's what you become like. We partook of Jesus' nature. We have His likeness. With our own personality, we have His likeness. And it will develop us into a perfect man that God always intended. The only kind of people that will go in the rapture, He told us. They were washed in the blood, but if they were in Adam's position, they would not eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Right? Because they live it from the heart. Innocence. They're sincere and they're obedience will stop your authority. The way that Old Testament Christians overcame, they stay obedient to God. And my parents, they were in ministry all my life, you know, till they died. They didn't know about authority like we do. Now, they probably read the scriptures, but they didn't seem to connect
the connection.
The dots. Mm-hmm. But they stay in our mess.
Amen. That's good.
Yeah. I'm going to ask a somewhat thought-provoking question in passing. When a saint, any believer, overcomes a shortcoming or a fault or a sin, is it the equivalent of being in the Garden of Eden and saying no to the fruit on that forbidden tree?
Yeah.
And are we replaying that episode every day where the devil tempts us and we say no, 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 and thus develop that Christ-like character?
Exactly. But the easy way to do it is by the Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You can try so hard with all your efforts, and it's frustrating, but if you do it by the Spirit, according to Romans chapter 8, it's a cakewalk. If you win the battle within, the battle without is a cakewalk.
Come on.
That's good.
In using authority, they are more with us than against us.
Yes. Mm.
Amen.
Remember, the Syrian army.
Can I ask, who do we use the authority on? Who do we take authority over? What do we take authority
over? We take authority over Satan and situations and sometimes
yeah. all those things that he has is behind. We can take authority over demons and devils and
I take authority over my own will.
Yeah?
In the name of Jesus. You will not do this. You will not think that. You will do right. In Jesus' name. I use confessions. I love those Charles Capp style confessions.
Right.
Whatever I want to do or be, I confess that I got it.
Amen.
Kenneth Hagin, he was believing. He kept reading the word about healing. And he was trying to be healed, but the Lord pointed out that you have that he had to believe that he was healed before he could see it, before he could handle it. He had to believe it because the word said it, and then he has it. When he had that revelation, he understood how faith worked. Authority works the same way. Jesus overcame death, hell, and grave for us and gave us the same authority. And once I received the revelation, and you have to receive revelation. He did it before I knew it. Before I received revelation, I had authority. I just didn't know it. I couldn't use it because I didn't know it. But once Chris Lucas told me, you got authority over Satan, I said, oh, good.
Amen.
Now, I took authority from the first years of my salvation in 1983. But I didn't know how far it went. I didn't have the revelation to know. I would use authority. I lived by authority all those years. I had to. But in 1989, I heard the series on the Believer's Authority from Kenneth Hagin. So I gave that testimony. I'm not going to go back and do all that again. But that's when the gunfight started. And I was kind of surprised that nobody died. I was kind of like in shock about it. I said, wow, this is good. And then the second time, every time I had to believe that nobody would die, I took authority, I had to believe what I was speaking. Sincerity.
Yes.
Obedience.
Yes.
And sincerity, obedience, and innocence. That's why I worked. I received those things shape the way you receive. Jesus said, take heed how you hear. The way you measure it will be measured to you. If your heart is set, in those days I just wanted to please God. So my heart was set to innocence. It was set to obey. It was set to be his kind of innocence and sincerity. So I would receive revelation that would have, you know, revelation comes all the time. But when your heart, when you're sincere that way, if you receive it, you're a good heart. Mary started off saying that when you're frustrated, you can't learn. It really hinders how you hear, how you develop, how everything. Once we receive anything of God's word, we become capable of carrying it out.
And you also make bad decisions when you're frustrated.
I did it all. I made terrible decisions before I learned better, and you know, I did it all.
Amen.
I won't leave with this one. I had a dream. Some terrible things are about to happen. The war is going to break out. And in this dream, I was around strong Christians. And it was in a shop setting. But outside, I saw what the enemy had. The enemy, now this may sound over the top, but this is what I saw. The enemy had a T-Rex. A Tyrannosaurus Rex, they had a T-Rex on their side. They had made one. I don't know how they did it, but they did. And they also had a stealth bomber the size of 3 acres. Now, in my dream, it started with me standing near the T-Rex. He saw me, I saw him, but I wasn't afraid. All I had, I was weaponized, but I didn't have any weapons on me, no machine guns or nothing. I had a T-shirt on. No weapons. I always carry a knife. But I wasn't afraid. And then I went into the shop. I said, and I saw the T-Rex left and went further away from me. And I saw the stealth bomber rise a couple of miles away, and it was huge. It was as wide as 2 or 3 acres. So I went in the garage to rally the Christians. I said, we need to organize. We need to get us a plan. Then we need to scatter. They know where we are, and we need to kill these things. That was my attitude. That's what I wanted to do. And the main guy, he never paid me no attention. He was still adjusting his carburetor. I said, you heard me. It's a T-Rex. They got a T-Rex out there. We got to kill it. We got to make something to kill this thing. We are weaponized. We don't ever have to be afraid.
Yes.
No matter what we see, we don't have. That's the theme of the dream. You don't have to be afraid. You can. You got this. Through the name of Jesus, you got it. You
can. Amen.
But it all goes back to that same innocence and your obedience. I was saying earlier, the Old Testament, the way that they overcame their enemies, they stayed in obedience to God.
Amen.
They did. And I saw my parents do that. Yes. When things would go wrong, they would pray. They didn't know to take authority over, but they did what Jesus said.
Yes, amen.
Imagine how hard it would be without knowing about authority. And you still win. Now you got the name. You can obey him. That sincere love, that's why you win. That's why you can't lose. Yeah. Even if it's a T-Rex. And a stealth bomber. Fully loaded. the T-Rex acted as if he was afraid of me and what I would do. Because he kept getting further and further away. He stood underneath the objective of the enemy is to throw you off balance, get you to believe, get you in fear. Their attempts were to get the people of God in fear. But as long
and
as
he's greater.
Yeah.
But the word of God tell us the greater one is on the inside. Amen. Let the greater one out.
Yeah.
Yes, he's amen. Like, let me out.
Yes,
they
amen.
Can't
I can handle that. Let
when
me
you
out.
Know your innocence, when you live in innocence, sincerity, and you're obedient to God, you're immune.
That's good. That's good, Apostle.
I agree with that.
Can you y'all dismiss us? Go ahead,
Pete. Yes, Lord. Father, we bless you and thank you, Lord, for the awesome word, Lord, this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the fire of the Holy Spirit, Lord, consuming us. And Father, as we walk into the sanctuary, I pray, Lord, that the word, Lord, will come forth. And Lord, that you will take and impart, Lord, to us, Lord, what you would have us to know in Jesus' name. Bless you, Father.
Thank you.
Amen.
Are you going to take it? Oh, you have to take it back.